Yeah, that's right. Flula, Milkman, Party Times!
Live from San Luis Obispo, you are listening to Hurricane and Scroggs. I am JD Scroggin. He is the Hurricane, but you can call him Owen Main. Owen, what's happening, man?
JD Scroggin.
Yes.
Happy week before Christmas.
Yes, this is our Christmas pod. So we have many, many no Christmas things planned for
God,
this.
God bless us, everyone.
Yeah. But I mean, this isn't going to be Christmas themed at all, which is kind of, I was thinking about that on the way over here.
It is
like,
kind of weird.
Yeah, I was like, wait, should we think of something Christmas-themed to talk about on the show? Because I don't have anything to you.
Well, yeah, part of it will be. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Have something Christmas-themed.
Well, won't really be, it'll be indirectly Christmas-themed.
Okay. Yeah. I was thinking, should we just sing like Christmas carols or do something?
No, we should not sing Christmas carols.
Sleigh bells ring.
Are you listening?
Yeah.
Yeah, no.
Okay. So it's going to be relatively no Christmas. So just so you know, if you're looking for Christmas,
actually,
look elsewhere.
I'll kind of start off the show with my semi-Christmas related situation.
Okay, go for
question.
It.
With everything.
Ooh, a question.
Yeah, it's a question for you, JD.
Nice.
And it's a question.
I like when people ask me the questions as opposed to the other way around, because that's how I do 99% of my life.
Your life.
Yes.
Whether the question is, why did you run that play, or why... I don't know.
Could you imagine, though? Like, why did you run that play? You think I should ask that? You know, I could just go to the next men's basketball
game
for
Cal Poly. That'd be like the next level. Joe, you know, you guys ran that double wing.
Yeah.
You know,
why'd you run that set?
You ran
10 seconds left.
You're in 21 or 32 going on there. Yeah, whatever, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. Anyway.
You guys ran that set where you did the two down screens and rolled Reese Morgan to that. Why did you run that?
Screen. Because it worked before, JD. That would not be.
I would have a great story.
You would have a negative response, I think. Maybe not. I don't know. So
and then I'll just say, what's wrong with you? Just skip like, why did you run that?
Wrong?
Just be like, open the press conference, like go to the news conference. They're like, okay,
did you
Coach
watch,
Joe Calero, questions, gentlemen.
Did you watch the?
What's wrong with you?
At the end, so like sometimes when I'm on the road, I'll kind of geek out on like NBA TV or whatever. And I was on the road for the NBA Finals clincher this past year with the Spurs and the. And I know this isn't a sports podcast, but it goes to this. The Spurs and the Heat, and the Spurs beat them. And then Eric Spoelstra, the Heat's coach, came up to the podium, and this guy from Miami basically asked that question, like, what's wrong with you?
Your
team. Yeah. He's like, your team sucks. What do you have to say about that? And Spoelstra
said,
like,
your team sucks. What do you have to say?
No,
about
but
that?
Like, but that was essentially,
you're paraphrasing.
I'm slightly paraphrasing.
Yeah.
Like it was like, you know, your team played without heart, like blah, blah, blah. Like, what do you think about that? And Spoelstra's like, is that a question? Like he gave a Popovich answer.
It was probably some like columnist person who
Or like, it was like a radio personality or columnist person. You're right. From like
it was by someone whose job is to make an opinion, and their opinion was they played with no heart.
But
so
then
you got to ask that. If you're going to write a column saying that, I mean, you have to ask that.
Right, but he basically,
you're gonna do a, you
he
know,
basically
radio
stated
show.
It as fact and then wanted Spoelstra to comment on his statement versus asking a question. And that's a fine line too, right? I mean,
I guess.
You're a columnist, I guess.
You got to kind of know. I mean, you know, if you don't have a relationship with the coach or the person you're talking to and you just go like, you guys have no heart.
Right.
They're going to be like, who's this guy?
Yeah, like LeBron and D-Wade were up at the podium like looking at each other like, and like I think D-Wade like whispered something to LeBron. LeBron's like, yeah, they played really good.
But like in the case of somebody like T.J. Simers, and maybe this is getting a little insider-ish.
Oh, God.
But T.J. Simers, to his credit, when he was working with the L.A. Times, I don't know what he's doing now, but when he was at the Times, he was at the games.
Oh,
he was there at the games. They knew the players, the coaches, they know who he is.
Yeah.
So when he comes with one of those questions, like, you guys didn't have any heart tonight, everyone knows who he is and what he's about. So it doesn't throw you
for a loop
as much.
Right.
You know, you're like, oh,
you know what to
TJ.
Expect. This is TJ being TJ.
Yeah, this is his job. This is his shtick. This is what he's going to do.
Okay.
But if you don't have that reputation or, you know, that rapport, I guess.
Yeah. It's a little different. Yeah, for sure.
Then people are going to look at you like, what?
What are you talking about? Yeah. So anyway, all that being said, I'm going to ask you a question.
Okay.
And the question, maybe
it has
little...
to do with Jingle Bells?
No. It's, I'll get around to how it has to do with Christmas, but, it won't seem directly related at first. So like, in San Luis Obispo right now, there is a level of traffic that is higher than normal, especially around Los Osos Valley Road.
Sure.
Last week there was also, along with the overpass that they're building,
yeah,
they were also doing like gas line work, and maybe they still are over on South Higuera by where the Tribune is.
Yeah, I've heard people complaining about this, about traffic in San Luis, and it makes me like,
right,
yeah, cry me a river, people.
Well, are and so like, me? but so I have like a couple of thoughts about it. One is that having to deal with it on this side of town, because it's really a this side of town thing. Like,
okay.
It's a South Higuera LOVR overpass.
Yeah, I mean, I was downtown yesterday, and there was traffic going crazy because there was a bunch of people everywhere.
Yeah, but it's not the same as,
you
like
know, holiday
sitting
stuff.
But you're not sitting like through like 5 to 8 cycles of a light before you get through that light.
Yeah,
I was actually
because I was on, let's see, what street was it? I'm trying to remember what street it was, but I was turning on to Higuera.
Mm-hmm.
I was turning on, making a left turn onto Higuera, mm-hmm, and it was one of those lights where there's no left turn signal.
Ah,
so you know, a bunch of cars are coming other way.
South,
so only
was it South Higuera?
No, it was Higuera downtown. I was turning left onto Higuera.
Oh, and everybody was crossing the crosswalk and not letting the person turn left, huh?
No, it wasn't the crosswalk. It was cars coming the other way.
Was it a Sunday?
No, it was yesterday. It was what's today? Today's Friday. Yesterday was Thursday. No, it was just, there was tons of people down there doing Christmas shopping and just being downtown.
Pictures taken with Santa or whatever.
Yeah, so it was crowded. And then one person, one green light, one person kind of went out in the yellow and was able to turn before it turned red.
Two people need to get out into the intersection and take advantage of that every time. Like, that's the law, that you get out at there, and then once it turns red, then you can turn.
Yeah.
Yeah, once you're in the middle.
Yeah,
so,
but it was literally one car at a time for every light. So, I mean, it was happening. And you know what? I didn't care.
Okay.
I mean, it was minor annoyance. I'm like, it usually isn't like
it's
this.
It's like an extra.
It's not like you're on the 405 in Carmageddon.
If you get over on LOVR at a really bad time of day, it's backed up all the way to the Costco light sometimes.
From where to where?
From the highway to the Costco light.
Okay.
Going towards the highway.
Yeah.
And so it can take.
I've seen that.
It can
I've
take
been
up
in
to,
that.
Right. It can take up to like 20 minutes to get, like, from my house to, like, say, the Tribune office or Food for Less or whatever,
okay,
if you're going that way. And so, like, 20 minutes is, like, it seems like nothing, but when you're used to planning your life around being able to get across town in 5 or 10 minutes, it starts being really, it can add up. And I know it's probably causing a lot of local San Luis Obispo residents and maybe Los Osos residents and people coming to Costco and Target some pain. When they built that Costco and Target, they didn't upgrade any of the infrastructure in terms of the streets or anything, really.
Yeah.
I mean, when it comes down to it. And so I'm a big advocate of like a Prado Road overpass there, actually. And I don't know that there ever is going to be one. They're talking about building an on and off ramp on the Embassy Suites side. That all being said, my question to you is this. How much does like traffic play into like quality of life in your brain? It doesn't sound like very much, like in terms of traffic annoyance. How annoyed do you get with like traffic and what kind of a quality of life thought is that for you?
No, I used to get annoyed with traffic when we lived in Napomo, because we lived on just off of Teft.
Right.
And there's only that one like major
Teft.
Until
Teft is it, huh?
Yeah. They actually opened a new on ramp on Willow.
That's
but
right.
Before
That's right.
that one, it was just everyone went to Teft. Like, there was the only way to get out of town was to go on Teft and go on Highway 101.
It's kind of dangerous.
So, especially around, like, when school started, or, you know, when school started up in the morning, I mean, when everyone was dropping their kids off for school, we would pass by Dana Elementary, and it would be just crowded there, congested all the way, you know, to the highway. And so I would be, like, annoyed because I had to drive all the way to, you know, that morning I would have to drive all the way to Cal Poly football practice. You know, and it turned my commute from like 30 minutes to like 45, 50 minutes sometimes.
Right, and that's a difference maker if you have a tight schedule that day.
Yeah. But I think eventually, though, after the first couple of times, I'm like, I'm just going to have to get up earlier and leave the house earlier. So then it wasn't that big of a deal. I mean, it kind of stunk, but it wasn't that big a deal. And in the grand scheme of things, people, I'm talking to you now, not just Owen. There is almost no traffic on the Central Coast. It's almost non-existent. It's like there's a couple times of day where you can predict where like, it's going to be crowded, you know, on 101 South going to South County from San Luis because all the commuters, or like, this time of year, it might be a little bit extra crowded, you know, because people are going to be traveling through town to get to their holiday destinations or whatever. Other than that, there's no traffic here, and it's like it's the most minor of annoyances, because there's literally almost
there was
None.
So having grown up in Cayucas, like Highway 1 between Cayucas and SLO is like, it's like basic. It's like the most basic, least traveled. I mean, it gets like slightly congested at 5 o'clock when people are driving home to Morro Bay or Cayucas from San Luis, you know, from work, like between say 4:30 and 6. But there was one time that I was driving and it was backed up from the light at Cal Poly all the way to like Cuesta College. And it took like 30 minutes of stop and go traffic. And it wasn't an accident. There must've just been some influx of cars or something happening. By the time I got there, it was just the light that people were waiting for.
Yeah.
It was insanity. It was all the way to Foothill. So,
I ran into that a couple times when I lived in Cayucas and I would drive into San Luis for work. And it was like super, because I would come in at like, I don't know, you know, get to work at like 2 o'clock.
Right.
And it would always be crowded there sometimes. And I kept noticing a pattern. And then the police came out and said that somebody had been illegally using one of those, like, you know, wireless little things to change the light.
Like the ambulance uses or the fire truck
uses.
Yeah,
like when the ambulance goes to the intersection, they press a little button and then it changes the light so that way they can go through. There was somebody who had one of those.
Like at Cal Poly, probably.
Yeah. And they were using that to like manipulate that light. And it was around the same time of day. And when the police said it, I was like, oh my God, that's when I'm driving through there. That's
some
totally,
kid trying to get to school on time.
Yeah, it's totally what's happening.
Some
I'm
really
caught up
Cal
in this
Poly
person
student.
Because I would notice that the light, the green light, would my direction would go really short. And there'd be like only a few cars would go. And I'd be like, why is that so short? Turns out there was somebody out there with, you know,
incredible.
Some spoiled person out there with some illegal.
Yeah.
You know, light-changing device.
Yeah, here on Hurricane and Scroggs with hot traffic takes.
Yes. How does this relate to Christmas again?
So, but in Christmas, so...
Give me my Christmas!
Lots of people like to travel for Christmas. Do you travel at odd times to get places for Christmas to avoid traffic in different places?
I think I fortunately have to travel at odd times because of my work schedule, so...
Like after, like you get off at midnight and then you
I get off at 11 or whatever, and it's like, okay, time to drive to Simi Valley or Fresno or whatever, and then it's... Yeah, then there's the highways are deserted and we get there in like 2.5-3 hours.
Yeah,
whatever.
Yeah, it's great. Yeah, so that's I guess how it was going to relate is that. Yeah, like, and so people from SLO though, I think it affects like a little bit of traffic affects us much more than a lot of traffic. In other words, it's kind of like the expectation versus what's actually happening. And it, you know, it's our expectation.
You are all spoiled
for traffic
people.
Is so high in terms of like our expectation for being able to breeze across town or breeze through places that
stop being greedy and spoiled. That's all I have to say about that.
Greedy?
Yes.
How is it greedy to
because
want,
you
to
get,
want free
you get,
flowing traffic lanes?
Because you get great traffic for most of the year, most of the week, most of the day, all day, every day, and you get a little bit of congestion, and you're like, "Oh, I want more. I want less congestion. I want more easy traffic." Like, stop being greedy.
Should we compare ourselves to LA in terms of traffic?
Yeah. Where would you rather live?
Here.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
Be glad that you do.
We need to build a Prado overpass is what I'm saying.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's always Prado, room for improvement.
And I'll come out and say Prado needs to go all the way through to Broad. Like, I know that's a hot topic and slow for some people. Yeah. But it absolutely needs to go from out there by Embassy Suites all the way through over the highway, over the river, through the woods, through the tank farm area, and all the way over to Broad.
There's obviously room for improvement anytime there's traffic issues.
If I was mayor, that's the one thing I would do. And then I would retire.
Yeah. I'm not against making changes. I mean, make changes if you need to.
Okay, fine. All right. So
I guess whining leads to making changes. So whine away, people.
Stop whining.
Yes.
Yeah.
no segue here, but I want to remember last week you talked about my glasses, how I got new glasses.
Yeah,
I want to tell you this glasses story.
So I saw JD get out of his car today outside and I saw this white tint to his glasses and I thought to myself, maybe I just didn't see that kind of coloring to the glasses the last time I saw him. And maybe it's just the light from outside that's making that happen. And then he assured me that it was actually a different pair of glasses than his new pair.
Yes.
Where's your new pair and why are you wearing these glasses?
Well, okay, let me tell you this, because I feel like this needs to get out there. So I'm hoping my story will get out there to people.
Get it out there.
So as you know, I went and got new glasses because my other ones broke.
I do know that.
My son head-bunted them. Bunted, by the way, is the word.
It's not head-butted?
It can be either or.
Really?
Okay, you're a big baseball fan.
Yeah.
What do you do with your one-run deficit and you have a man on second with no out, or man on second or first with no outs?
Do I subscribe to?
This is your number eight hitter who's at the plate. What do you do?
Do I subscribe to the Ned Yost and maybe Larry Lee in the past way of thinking about bunting, or do I subscribe to the new?
What do you do? Say the word. That's all I want to know.
Some people choose to bunt and give up an out.
Okay, so what did you tell me last time I said head bunt? You're like, head bunt isn't even a word.
Did you go look it up?
I didn't have to look it up. I knew. Bunt is what you do. It's bunt. He bunted me with his head.
So he just hit it like very softly.
Sure.
He just deadened. He deadened the acceleration of your head.
Yes.
So your head was actually moving.
It was a head bunt.
He bunted it.
Yes.
He just deadened it down on the ground.
Yes. That was exactly what I meant. And my glasses broke, so I had to go get a new pair. So I get a new pair, right? And I didn't tell you this last time. I think last time we were talking about how I couldn't get contacts because I couldn't touch my eyeballs. It's disgusting and gross. I get the new pair of glasses. I go pick them up at the store, and I put them on, and immediately it's like, whoo, everything is blurry. I'm like, whoa, this is not, something's not right here. These are blurry. I'm not going to take these. Something's wrong. I have gotten new glasses many times before, and never have I put them on and been like blurry. Now, granted, I did get a bigger prescription.
You said you eventually kind of were getting used to it when I saw you.
Yeah, I had a more powerful prescription. So I'm like, okay, well, maybe that's it. It's just, you know, whatever. But it was
meanwhile,
super
you're driving around with blurriness.
Yes. And so, well, that first time I didn't take them. I'm like, I can't take these. There's something wrong with them. And the girl was like, oh, I don't know what to do. Sorry, I'm new. I'm like, well, I'm not taking them. And I left. Then the next day I went back. I did some reading online and other people were talking about how they had blurry glasses at first. I'm like, well, maybe I just need to, my eyes need to adjust. So I went and picked them up again. There was another woman there.
And you're kind of trying to talk yourself into adjusting.
Yeah, I'm like, okay, maybe I overreacted. I'll try them. Another woman was there. She was more veteran, and she was like, well, just try them for today, and if it's still blurry, then you can come see the doctor or whatever. So I'm like, okay, I took them. I tried them. Meanwhile, when I had gotten the prescription, before I was waiting for the new ones to arrive, I had ordered two backup pair online from firmoo.com, which is offering like
Firmoo.
Spell
that for me, please.
F-I-R-M-O-O. .com. It's a Chinese company that offers like super cheap glasses. So I just got them as backup pairs. You know what I mean? So like in case I needed extras. And they had a buy one, get one free. So I bought them. I got them. I'm waiting for them to arrive. Well, I had my other glasses. I was the quality ones. I was testing for a day to see if they were blurry. All of a sudden, my new ones come in from Firmoo. And I put them on crystal clear. I can see perfectly. And it's the same prescription.
Same prescription. So you got your prescription from the doctor and you sent that into Firmoo.
Yes. Okay. Same prescription. I'm like, oh my God, I can see perfectly with these. This is perfect.
Something's messed up with these.
Something's messed up. So I went back and Sears is where I went. And I am giving a huge thumbs down to Sears Optical right now. I am never going back there again, by the way. Because here's another reason.
Unless Sears Optical decides to sponsor this podcast, in which case it will be JD's preferred
optical
center.
I will decline.
I will happily, if Sears wants to, if Sears Optical wants to sponsor our podcast.
They will be sponsoring Hurricane and not Scroggs, just if that's the case.
Only the Hurricane.
Yes. Hurricane only. I will not be down with them. Because get this, when I got the prescription, they gave me the prescription, and then I said, hey, can you give me my pupillary distance? Because it wasn't written on the prescription. I knew I needed it to get my backup pair online. And they're like, oh, no. I'm like, well, I need it because I'm going to buy a backup pair. And they're like, oh, well, we'll sell you a backup pair for an extra $125. I'm like, no, I don't.
Get them online for like 40 or something.
I get them online for 30 bucks. 30, I can get two pair. Yeah. I don't want to get.
30 for two pair or 30 each?
$33 for two because it's buy one, get one free.
Dude.
Yeah. So, and they've worked for me so far. So I'm not going to go on a big testimonial for Firmoo or whatever. There's other.
If Firmoo Optical decides to sponsor Hurricane and Scroggs, it will be both Hurricane and Scroggs.
Yes. And so she wouldn't give me my pupillary distance. I'm like, give me my pupillary distance. You gave me the prescription. Now I want to go to backup pair. They're like, oh, no, sorry, I don't have it. I'm like, you just typed it into the computer for my order. No, sorry. We don't do that. I'm like, are you serious? She's like, yeah, you can go to Walmart and get it. Like, just go to another store. She told me, go to another store and they'll measure it for you. I'm like, you just measured it and typed it in.
Wow. And she was giving you a hassle.
Yeah. I'm like, what kind of customer service is this? Why would I ever come back here again?
Poor. Yeah. Poor customer service.
Terrible customer service. Terrible. So then I go back. I realize something's wrong with these original glasses because the new ones have I can see perfectly. So I take them back to Sears and I'm like, look, I these were blurry. You know, nobody believed me first couple times, and I said they were blurry. I asked for consultation with the doctor too. The first two times that I had shown up, the first time I didn't take the glasses, the second time I did.
Oh, man.
Both times I said I want a consultation with the doctor because these are wrong. They denied me both times. And they said, yeah, they were just like, no, you know, we don't do that. Just like they don't give the pupillary distance. Who does that anyway, too, by the way? Like, you go for customer service at one place and they direct you to another store. Could you imagine that happening?
And I could imagine that happening if they literally do not have the ability to do what you're asking. So, like, if I go to...
No, but they did it. Right? It's like if you went to, like, the Nike store and you were like, oh, measure my feet, you know, and they're like, no, go to the Reebok store for that. We just sell you the shoes.
Or no. What? It's that they actually would measure your feet and they're like, okay,
and they wouldn't tell you what size you are. They're like, here's your mystery shoes.
Right. Correct.
Terrible.
That's pretty bad.
Terrible customer service. So anyways, I go take them back. I go like the first thing in the morning because I want this to get taken care of. So I go there right when they open and she's like, oh, it's the same woman, the one who wouldn't give me the pupillary distance. She's like, oh, you know, okay, I'll give these to the doctor and tell him something's wrong with them and I'll call you or whatever. Well, this was my day off. So I wanted to get it resolved that day. Like I didn't, I couldn't come back the next day or the next day or the next day. That's the day I needed it. That's why I went first thing in the morning.
Right.
So I wait a couple hours. They don't call.
So you called them?
I called.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, hey, what's the word with the glasses? And they're like, oh, she's like, oh, you know, I haven't told him anything about it yet. I haven't given them to him yet. I'm like, this is like 2.5 hours after I showed up first thing in the morning. I'm first in line. As soon as that doctor came into the office, that was the first thing she should have done.
Unless there was like another appointment. Right. Yeah.
Well, even if there is another appointment, like, get this figured out. Right. Like it's not wall to wall appointments,
and it's not like it's exploring the cosmos. It's not like it's trying to figure out, you know, a complicated math problem.
Yes.
It's a pretty simple deal. Either the glasses work or they don't.
Yes.
Right?
And by the way, the same woman. This is, oh my God, I'm like incensed here. The same woman. I took the glasses.
I can't tell JD.
I went and I was like, when I actually did pick up the glasses and take them home, I told her, I'm like, there's something wrong with these. And they have a little machine where they put the glasses in and they check the prescription level to see if the magnification is proper. And she goes, oh, these are the right prescription. These are the prescription the doctor gave for you. So they're right. You just need to let them adjust. So mind you, there's that.
Uh-huh.
She wouldn't let me get the pupillary distance. She told me that she double checked the magnification and they're right. Then she wouldn't give the doctor the glasses after I told him, no, these are wrong.
Okay.
For hours. I went in there at 10:30. I called back.
Like noon.
12, yeah, 30, I called one, back one. At like closer to one actually, and you know it was after one, and she hadn't even given them to him yet. And I'm like, well, do you have a time that you can expect that I can maybe go pick these up or like you know get it figured out
have
at least
some information?
I didn't want to pick them up. I wanted to go talk to the doctor myself to find out what the problem was because I have no faith in these people.
Right.
And so, anyways, whatever. 4:30, they finally call me back. She wouldn't even give me like a time to expect a call.
Right.
She's like, oh, well, you know, we're busy. There's other people here. And I'm like, other people there?
Like I was there.
I was the first one there. I was the first person in line.
Right.
You should address me before other people.
But you left.
Yeah. It doesn't matter if I left.
I know. In her mind, you left.
Yeah. It's terrible customer service.
So you're not in immediate need.
Yeah. Ridiculous. She's sitting there helping other people pick out pairs of glasses instead of addressing my broken
ones. She's making sales.
Yeah, whatever. So anyways, they call me back after 4. Finally, this is the problem. This is the issue. This is why I need to shine the light on this and tell me my story. They put the lenses in backwards. So they put the right lens in the left eye backwards. They put the left lens in the right eye backwards when they made the glasses. So I had the wrong prescription on each eye and they were backwards.
So the machine
and I have different prescriptions for each eye, slightly different.
Right. So the machine read it correctly when they put it in.
I don't think the machine read it correctly. I don't have enough faith to know that she was using the machine properly. I think that person was completely incompetent.
Is it that person? I would never
send anyone to Sears Optical. Don't go. They have
is it that person that creates the glasses, or is it like farmed out to like a centralized?
No,
Transformers?
They send them out to perform somewhere.
Wow, that's pretty bad.
But all this time, I'm complaining about. I'm saying they're blurry, and nobody believed me.
Right, which is the worst thing to do if you're a customer service thing for something like this.
Yeah.
You know what the other thing is?
What?
And I'll say this. As soon as the doctor looks at you and writes his prescription or her prescription, Like, they never hear about all the issues you went through. So it's a real bummer.
Well, because they wouldn't let me talk to the doctor.
It's a real bummer for whoever that doctor is. And we have friends and know people who work in and around like healthcare and medical stuff.
Yep,
and
yep.
And
this is a big healthcare story.
But I've talked about it before with one of
it's
our
way worse
friends.
Than traffic.
I've talked about it before that the doctor may be an amazing doctor, but if they have crap people that work for them, then you're going to think they're a crap doctor and you're going to have a horrible experience with that office. And while office staff and doctor's offices, you know, they turn over sometimes, it's a very interesting like thing to take a look at. How is that office run? How, you know, is it run smoothly? Is the doctor connected with the people in the front office, or is there a complete disconnect there?
Yeah, no concept of customer service.
Right, right.
None
and because whatsoever. Doctors don't go to med school for customer service. They go to med school for, you know, to handle patients and to be able to do that. So it's always a fascinating thing to me, kind of the
I will say the doctor wide knew variance. His stuff. I will vouch for the doctor. He knew his stuff.
Well, he obviously wrote the right prescription.
He obviously wrote the right prescription. I can see perfectly.
Like, hello.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But the customer service, it's like,
to put the lenses in that way, like, that's a huge.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm not mad that the lenses were put in wrong necessarily, because it's not Sears's fault.
But that's kind of a big deal, isn't it?
Yeah, but it's manufacturer. Whoever, you know, built the glasses, it's their fault. And it's not happening.
Nuts,
it's not happening at that Sears. You
but
know
it
what
drives
I mean?
Me nuts that whoever that guy or girl, whoever that person was who put in the lenses wrong, they will never get that corrected. It's not going to get back to them that they put bad lenses, that they did it the wrong way. And so that issue is going to continue to happen.
Yes.
And for me,
that's why it needs to be exposed.
But
people,
for me,
if you get blurry glasses and you put your glasses on for the first time, they're blurry. They just might be in backwards.
Yeah.
Just know that.
That's
trust
the part
your
that
eyes.
Bugs me. And aren't they like concave
don't
or convex?
Trust the salespeople at the optometrist.
When
trust
you
your
at,
eyes.
When you and it's something to look at now, right? If you have glasses and they're weird, look and see if they're convex or concave or what that looks like, because they should be they should have some slight outward.
Yeah. Well,
and,
there was
and yours probably
it was
had
kind
inward.
Of a weird thing because my wife, when I was wearing the those
my
glasses,
wife.
Uh-huh. My wife, very nice. she looked at me and she's like, "You look weird." She's like, "Your face looks different. Like your glasses look different. Are they higher on your face?" I'm like, "No."
Interesting.
And then when they reversed the lenses and put them on correctly,
when they reversed the polarity,
she couldn't even tell that I had new glasses. She thought they were the backup pairs because she's like, "Oh, those aren't your new glasses. You look totally different." And apparently, it had made the view of my
eyes
look different to her.
Of course it would.
For the reverse of the
because
lens.
because she's looking at your eyes.
I all of a sudden had like
beady
cross eyes or something.
She's looking at your eyes with the prescription that you had. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess.
Yeah. Exactly. Wow. Wow. Yeah. What is that? That's super interesting. That is.
It was ridiculous, man.
Yeah.
I was so ticked off. Never going back.
Okay. Okay.
Well, never again.
Fair enough.
I was so mad. And hear this to top it all off.
I'm hearing
the cherry on top. Okay. When I went there, she's like, "Oh, come pick up." This is the phone call. "Yeah, you can come pick up your glasses." And I'm like, "Whoa, what do you mean pick them up? They're wrong." And she's like, "No, they're good now. Come pick them up." I'm like, "Okay, what's the problem? Can I talk to the doctor?" And she's like, "No, they were put in backwards, but they're good now. So come get them." So I show up and get them. I put them on. I look around. I'm like, "Yes, perfect. Thank you." Like, finally
somebody does. But
you know,
but you don't,
I
but,
can see with
but
them.
But they never give you the satisfaction of, "Oh, I'm so sorry that we didn't listen to you."
Well, here's
you don't
the problem.
Get that.
Not even that. I took them off. I put them on. You know, she's like, "Are they good?" And I'm like, "Yeah, I can see." And she didn't say anything. She's just looking at me like. And I'm like, "Okay. What is? Am I going to be like, you know, compensated for all these trips I had to come out here and like
no,
a week?
No, no.
Am I even going to at least get a sorry?" She didn't say anything. Nothing.
Not sorry
so
for
I
the
said,
inconvenience. Right.
So I said, "You guys need
you
to.
You would have gotten a little bit of satisfaction had they said, "Hey, we're really sorry we put you through that."
Yes.
Even just that.
Yes.
Like,
nothing.
"Hey, sorry we didn't listen
nothing.
To you. I know I've seen you a few times."
Exactly.
Yeah.
Nothing. And then so
nobody's going to give you that satisfaction.
Yeah. So she said nothing. So I'm like, "Well, you guys need to probably like, I don't know who does your outsource your glasses manufacturing to, but I mean, you probably should look into that and check and make sure they're not making the same mistake."
No, she's not going to look into anything.
Making the same mistake. And then she does like this. Doesn't say anything. No words come out. Just like kind of this stupid like look.
Like head tilted to the side on
yeah.
both sides.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And then I'm like, all right, you know, screw this place. I'm like, I'm walking out. I'm not ever coming back. Like,
right, of course.
I didn't tell her, like, I'm never coming back because of this, but I had already decided at that point I'm never coming back. I turn around to walk away. As I'm walking out the door, she goes, sorry, thanks, sorry. That was it.
The worst. Sears in Santa Maria?
Yeah.
Yeah. Bummer.
So there's that.
Wow. Wow, that's quite a...
That went a longer rant than I probably intended it to be.
No, that's inappropriate. That's totally appropriate, and I'm sorry about that.
Glasses wearers, be on the lookout.
Should we get to our one regular bit?
Yeah, you came up with it this time, right?
Yeah.
I have a one thing that I wanted to do, too, but maybe we'll hold off if we don't have time.
So I'm asking for a friend...
Oh, we'll have time.
We have a little bit of time.
Yeah.
So I'm asking for a friend, and I guess the question... It's a question. It's more of a rules for the office. You know, we had poop office here before.
Yes.
It's kind of rules for the office in terms
Wait, is this what's crapping in?
It is what's crapping in.
Okay, don't we have to like introduce that?
What's crapping in?
Yeah, so every week we try to bring you the latest
in poop news.
What's chic in the world of poop. And today, this time, this is kind of interesting because usually I am the one who comes up with the poop stories.
And
but
it's
this
less
time,
of a story.
This is straight from the desk of Owen. Well, this is straight from the desk of Owen's friend.
Yeah, I'm asking for a friend.
Yeah.
I guess the question Wink. Is, if you, what did you say?
Huh? Nothing. I didn't say anything.
Okay, good. Yeah, I didn't hear anything either. If you work in an office environment with multiple floors, with people from other buildings, what is the etiquette around people going in the bathroom that is in your floor on your building? My friend's wondering whether he should take it as a full like attack on one floor by another floor.
Like if someone from another floor poops in your bathroom
when they have a perfectly good bathroom, number one. So that's the number one question.
But like, here's the thing.
Number two question before you go to it, all else being equal, would you rather poop in a bathroom? Well, so I'm going to start over. We know that we prefer a home game when we use number two. Pooping at home is always preferred.
Sure.
For anywhere else.
Yeah.
Home in your own. A home game's always best.
Yeah. Some people leave work and go home to poop.
I'm sure they do. Because
a friend of Owen's might do that.
I don't.
Does your friend do that?
No.
Oh, okay.
Nor does my friend, I don't think. I haven't asked him.
Okay.
So all else being equal, would you rather go in a singular locked door bathroom with just one toilet, or would you rather be in a two stall, like, you know, school style kind of restroom?
Yeah.
All else being equal, which would you prefer, JD? Yeah.
This is like a multi-pronged question. I feel like I'm taking the SAT.
So that's number one. That's just number one question that I want to ask.
Okay, so number one is it attack? Is it an attack on you?
We're going to get to that in a second. I got ahead of myself.
Oh,
My friend got ahead of himself.
Sorry.
So number one, is it an attack on...
Wait, you said we're not talking about the attack.
That's true.
You literally forgot what you said the sentence before you said like...
like Rick James on...
we're not going to talk about the attack.
Like Rick James on his show.
We're going to talk about the attack.
No, I never put my foot on
Murphy's
couch.
Yeah, he's like, I never grind my boots on his couch.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
Yeah. Yeah, I grinded my boots on Eddie's couch.
I just had that moment. Okay, so number one, which do you prefer? The multi stall situation or the singular restroom situation?
What would I prefer personally?
Yes. Yeah, and what do you think most human beings would prefer?
Yeah, I would just go in the one.
Yeah.
And then lock the door, because then you avoid all kind of awkward...
When
you're in a situation where there's multiple toilets or multiple people in there,
you
always... You know, even if you have to go really bad, you always clench and wait for the other person to leave before you drop like the really like the sound. Because the sound for some reason is embarrassing. Like the sound makes you feel bad about yourself if other people hear the sound.
Right.
So you always want them to leave so they don't hear the sound.
Right.
And then if they're in there, you flush at the same time as you go so they don't hear the sound.
Right.
So it's all about like it's all about camouflaging or avoiding the sound.
Yes.
So why not just avoid all of that by just going in the single stall and closing the door? Then nobody has to hear the sound unless it's like super loud and someone's like near the door. But I mean, there's nothing you can do about that.
But if there's like, and I understand that, but like, again, yeah,
Is there someone near the door?
Fart fan should, the fart fan should take care of that too, in terms of being able to decipher anything.
Does someone sit near the door?
My friend actually used to sit in that spot, that exact office closest, and it never bothered him.
Did he ever hear any?
No. No, and there was never any smell even either.
Did he hear any?
Dun it, dun it, dun it.
Or did he hear any?
No.
Or did he hear any?
No, JD. No, JD.
Which one?
None. None of the above.
We're doing the
F,
we're
none
doing
of the above.
We're doing the lineup here.
You, SAT.
Which was the that hurt you?
Thank you, JD.
None, I mean your friend.
None of the above hurt my friend.
Okay.
And so all that kind of together then, yeah. So I would also do the first one if I were just a human in the world, I would do the individual one.
Yeah, because you can lock the door.
Okay. So that being said, if my friend is in the situation with multiple, and if other people who have singular ones,
your friend works on a level of the office, a floor that has a restroom that has multiple toilets.
Uh huh.
Okay.
And all the other ones have singular ones.
Okay. And other floors just have one toilet.
Correct.
Okay.
And if other floors continue to bombard my friend's floor.
Yeah.
Should he take that as a full on attack?
Well, I mean, you have to do your research first, like maybe the other floors, someone was in the one seater, so they had to go to the other one.
Yeah. Yeah.
Are you taking that into account?
Yeah. When my friend was on
Your friend taking that into account?
When my friend was on that same floor, he could just be patient about it. And wait for that.
Well, I mean, you gotta go. You gotta go. You've heard that one before.
Yeah, and so I guess my friend would understand. My friend would understand if it was like a one, if it was every now and again. But when it's like half of the time that that he goes in that restroom, that it's that there's somebody from a different floor in there, then it becomes like quite apparent that it's a full attack.
Has your friend taken this into account, that maybe the one seater on that other person's floor, someone else from that floor
Explode.
Blew it up, and then the second person went in there and was like, "Oh, I'm going down to the
again,
other floor
again." That's your floor,
but that doesn't mean you have to bathe in like somebody else's stinky poo fumes.
I mean, isn't that what like the sprays are for and stuff? When my friend worked on that floor,
that's justifiable. I think there's two excuses.
If
someone has blown up the restroom on your floor and you don't want to deal with it, you can go to another floor.
But I would go find another floor with a single bathroom when I have options.
Well, there's how many other floors does your friend be working in like a skyscraper?
Four.
Here. That counts as a skyscraper.
There's
in San
upstairs
Louis.
And downstairs on two buildings.
Okay.
So it's
Well, you're not going to go to another building.
Yeah, it's right next door. It's like
no, but you're not going to go out of the building.
You have to go out of the building to get to the other floor anyway.
To the other floor?
Yeah. There's no stairs.
There's no elevator or anything?
No.
You have to go outside of the building.
Uh-huh.
To go to, what, like a fire escape? What kind of office is this?
Like a walk. I think. I've never been there. It's like a walkway outside, he tells me.
Uh-huh.
Like outside stairs.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. So in order to go to a different bathroom, you have to actually
go outside anyway.
This sounds like not the typical office scenario.
And also not the typical human being that would come and explode somebody else's bathroom, and that's all I'm saying.
Well,
do everything I can to not be in the same room as somebody else who's pooping. I think that's a law. That's a poop law. You don't want to be in the same room as somebody else pooping. If you can at all help it.
Owen's rules for poop.
If you can at all help it.
Don't poop where there's someone else.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's a fair rule.
Yeah. If you can avoid it.
If you can at all avoid it, listen, sometimes you're in the airport and you can't avoid it. Sometimes you're at work and you can't avoid it. But if you can avoid it, you're going to do everything you can to avoid it. You're going to find an excuse to go over to the other department and say, hey, how's it going?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, well, I'm on my way out. I'm just going to explode your bathroom.
Totally.
Sure. Yeah.
I know another friend of yours who works in an office, and when he goes into one of the restrooms at his office, and if there's someone already pooping in the multi-stall bathroom, there's another multi-stall bathroom like 20 feet away, and he just goes to use that one.
Yeah, totally. That would be the appropriate. And if you see, okay, there's somebody else in that one too, fine. I'll just, you know, I'll either wait, which would be number one option for me. Yeah.
Or, I mean, there's nothing to be ashamed of. You can just go do it too.
Sure,
like,
sure.
I'm less ashamed. I'm less ashamed. I mean, your other friend is less ashamed of, is less ashamed of just going with somebody else in there,
yeah,
than the dang people who go to the restroom. And I see these people. I mean, your other friend sees these people all the time in offices that just go use the restroom and don't wash their hands.
Oh, yeah, that's pretty
bad. Oh, my God.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who are these people?
Horrible people.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's those restrooms that you can go into and literally not touch anything.
Right.
Other than your own genitals.
Uh-huh.
And I think as we're increasingly getting the, like, motion detector stuff and you're not touching anything, maybe you don't need to wash your hands. I don't know.
As often?
Yeah. Well, just every time.
Right.
If you're just going to go do number one.
Uh-huh.
And you're in one of those restrooms where it automatically flushes, so you're not touching anything.
And you didn't,
in
and
the
you didn't open a door.
Yeah. All right. You did was just go in there and touch yourself, which, by the way, just so you know, your hands are a lot dirtier
than your junk.
Than your genitals.
Right. You're actually transferring bacteria the other way.
Yeah. You should wash your hands before you touch yourself.
Ooh.
But if you're not going to do that, then what's the point of washing your hands afterwards if you didn't really, you know. Yeah. If you're not wiping, you're just going number one, is what I'm saying. Like,
yep.
you're not having a poop smell on your hands.
So that's our what's crapping. I think we have a
we have
yeah, no, we have an immutable law.
Okay.
And that's what we've gained out of today's segment is a law that if you can avoid it, don't poop where somebody else is.
Or, and my law is, or who cares, you can.
If you can avoid it though, yeah.
If you don't want to avoid it, it's fine. You definitely shouldn't be in the
malicious
case of
about
your,
it.
In the case of your friend, you definitely shouldn't be seeking out the possibility that you could be pooping with other people in the restroom if you don't have to.
Yeah.
Yeah. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Is that too much like?
No, that's fine. That makes sense. Yeah. What was the other thing you were going to talk about?
Wait. Well, we exhausted this topic.
Yeah, we have like okay. 10. We have like 10 minutes.
What?
Yeah. Like 10 to 15.
Okay. All right. I got to turn this on here.
Okay.
So you have a story.
You have a story.
But here's what we need to like. We need some closure. This person is attacking you, basically.
They are, right?
It's poop fair. It's poop warfare.
Poop warfare.
Yeah. You should go. You should go up.
They're literally dropping bombs on my territory.
You should go up into their bathroom and take a dump.
Okay.
Like an upper decker.
I wouldn't know where it is.
I mean, your friend should.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't even know if he's upstairs or they're downstairs. I don't know how.
Okay.
Yeah, who knows?
All right.
Who really knows? Nobody.
So, I've came across this story this morning. It's kind of funny. It's not a slow news day necessarily. It's just a story that got uploaded on MSN.com.
Okay.
And it was like clickbait because it was like 10 things. I saw it on Google News. 10 things that aren't illegal.
Is it a gallery that takes like 8 minutes to load each page?
Totally. It doesn't take 8 minutes, but it's a gallery like that. And you have to click through.
I want to see some of those things, but when they take that long to load, then I don't even look at them.
It doesn't take that long to load. Okay. This one didn't. Right. But I know what you're talking about. And you're like, screw this.
So 10 things what?
10 things that aren't illegal, but should be.
All right.
So I click through it and like most of the slides are like, yeah, whatever. But number 6. Uh-oh. Did we lose something?
I think we're okay.
My headphones went out.
Did you turn me up in the headphones? Sorry.
Yeah. All right. We're good. Yeah, I'm going to just be like this the rest of the way.
You're good. If you let go.
Okay. So.
See? Why is that affecting mine? Whoa.
I don't know. All right. So we'll hold it. Okay. So number 6. Sorry for the technical difficulties, person who may be listening to this.
Yeah. Keep going.
Number 6. Spitting on cars that are badly parked is not illegal.
Okay.
And I saw that and I was like, dang,
Is spitting on cars that are appropriately parked illegal?
Well, probably spitting on cars probably isn't illegal at all.
Right.
It says, assuming you don't cause any actual damage,
right?
It will not get you jail time, but it can get you a slap on the wrist in some states.
Right.
So like there's some states that don't allow you to spit in public.
Right.
And so technically that would be against the law if you spit in public.
They could take you in for that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, they could give you a ticket.
Right.
They're not going to take you in. You're safe.
They're going to handcuff you and take you.
You're
in.
Safe. But like, so this is something that I do many times. We've probably talked about this on Fansmanship before. I remember talking to you about this.
You take pictures? Do you publish?
No, I don't take pictures. No. But like, if I see someone who has like a luxury car that thinks they're better than everyone else and they take up 2 spots just because they don't want anyone dinging
right
their door or whatever. No, I will hawk a big fat loogie.
Oh, I haven't heard that before.
And it will go, right on the hood of the car and be like, forget you. Or are you like on the windshield?
Huh.
It's like, have you seen who do you think you are? Have who you are seen these people?
Have you seen the chalk outline that they do sometimes?
No.
Where they,
oh, yeah. Like, oh, yeah. Hey.
They draw their own.
Yeah, perfect parking space
write,
for you.
Yeah. Yeah. And they they write things with chalk in the parking lot.
Yes. There's lots of things people do to shame people who park terribly. But I never knew that spitting on cars was so... I mean, I do it. I have done it in the past. I haven't done it probably in like
years. You didn't know it was universal.
I haven't done it in years. Right. We'll put... I'm not like a vigilante out there, the Batman like... spitting on cars. How dare you?
There's like a parking space in the sky. Yeah. Like the
how dare you park that way? Harvey. So no, I haven't like spit on anybody's car in a long time. So but I have done it in the past, but I had no clue it was like this, like the thing to do that everyone did it. Like,
I guess everybody does.
I thought I just invented it on my own and was doing it like, you know, like a random act of non-violent protest. But apparently it's like,
not so much.
It's so popular that it's included in the 10 things that are illegal but aren't illegal but should be by MSN.
Huh,
and I argue with the premise that it should be illegal because it obviously shouldn't be. What should be illegal is parking poorly.
Parking poorly should be illegal, and it is in lots of places.
Well, hold up right there, because I remember talking to you about this and you defended people's right to park like a douche. Remember, it was
in an empty parking lot. I don't think it's a big deal.
It was on Facebook. Remember, who was it?
If somebody, it's in an empty parking lot, it's no big deal.
Ryan Ferran posted a picture of somebody parking. This was a couple years ago. He posted a picture of somebody parking like a tool.
Okay.
And I remember
public
like
shamed.
Yeah, and I remember it led to like a big.
Did I say what if it was like an old lady? Was that
no?
What
you were like, I'm tired of people dinging me in the parking lot. Like people need to stop like getting parking close to me.
I have
a
crappy truck. Would I be the one saying
that? No, it was you, dude. You were like,
I have like a crappy truck.
You were angry too, and you were saying,
angry.
Your side of the argument was,
wow,
that,
we're just making up stories now.
No, we're not. This your side of the argument was, as I remember, are you not going to hold up your end of the argument on this?
I don't think I'm going to say. Listen. Some parking lots. I will say this. And it's not the fault of the parker, and I don't straddle a line because of it, but some parking lots that are out there are really, really bad and really, really tight and aren't the greatest things in the world. Like they're old. If you park in downtown slow, my truck, which is not a extended, like it's a normal sized length truck. There are lots of spots. I'd say half the spots on Marsh and Higuera that my truck fits into, and it's hanging out. It's spilling out on both sides in the parallel parking spots. There are parking lots that are the same way where, you know, you can barely get the parking lot. Oh, the one by the football stadium at Cal Poly. There are a few of those spots that I won't park in because I can't get out of my car if people are parked in the other spaces. So
yeah.
I just don't park there. So people need to, number one, plan parking spots better. That would be my like take on it. I think, you know, I think people who park with their, you know, who purposefully like split 50-50, you know, I think there's a difference between that person and like a granny who doesn't know how to drive.
Well, I don't have a problem with her
Lincoln Town Car.
Yeah, the problem I have and that most of society has, except for you, because you defended this, right? And I'm going to go back and find that Facebook post.
I would love to see
you
it.
You did. I'm going to go. This is a couple years old. I'm going to go on Ryan Ferran's Facebook page, see if I can find this picture.
Throwback Thursday.
Yeah, totally. I'm going to find it. You're going to have to live up to what you said. Because I was like, this is terrible. the people who have like an expensive car and feel like because I have an expensive car that I deserve to take up multiple spaces.
Yeah, that's garbage.
Because I don't want people to mess up my car, and my car is better than yours.
Again, unless
so
they're
I'm
parking,
better than you.
Unless they're parking like way far away in a parking lot that is like half empty and they're parking like and walking a long way to get in, I have no problem with that. So if the parking lot's half empty, if they park not where everybody's parking and they take up two spaces like a RV does sometimes in some of those parking lots, I have no issue with that. They're walking a little extra distance. They don't want to get there. Whatever. That's fine. I'm fine with that part. But when they take up two like that are right in front in the middle of where everybody's parking, then that's an issue.
Yeah, totally. Well, I'm going to have to look at that Facebook
splitting hairs
post
here.
Because you defended that. I remember you were like, you were saying, see, this is the conversation as I remember it. You were saying, well, why shouldn't they park like that? Because people are going to hit them with their car doors. Yes. You're denying it now, but I'm going to find it. I'm going to find the evidence.
People are jerks about that, though. Like, people are not respectful of other people's cars in parking lots.
See, now we're getting to the meat.
I'm not saying they should park like that.
You're getting incrementally a little bit closer to the to the tool point of view, because that's where you started. You're trying to hide it, but that's your true colors will come out sooner or later, whether forced or just out of principle.
So we might take a little bit of a hiatus on the Hurricane and Scroggs podcast for Christmas. We're gonna try to be back for
I'm out of town all next
the week of New Year's probably. Happening.
Week with New Year's, I'm working a lot, but we'll see. We can do what we can. Because we'll you'll have some time off, I'm sure.
Yeah, yeah. And I might be in Reading early in that week, but like it might be like... So give us a couple weeks to come back. We hope you enjoyed it. Let us know if there's anything you want added in the new year to the Hurricane and Scroggs podcast. We might even try to come up with another bit along with the What's Crappin' in bit to be like a regular thing. And so if you have any ideas,
Slow News Day, but I the only thing I could find was that Grover Beach was going to outlaw panhandling near... ATMs.
Yeah, and that wasn't super interesting.
It's a slow news day.
Maybe. Yeah, literally. Yeah.
And
especially probably with the holidays, like I'm sure there are some stories that you're going to see like maybe in the paper or other places that they've maybe been saving up a little bit and like trying to make it so that they can, you know, have a few days here and there with their families, which I can't blame them for. So.
Read the paper.
There's
coupons.
Buy the paper,
there.
Read the paper, subscribe to the paper. You want to support something like that, I think, you know, in terms of a local entity. I think generally, like, that's a good thing to do. Support a news station like KSBY that's actually in San Luis. Support a newspaper that's actually run like a newspaper that's in San Luis.
Yeah. You know. Plus, I don't think you heard me. There's coupons in there.
And it'll pay off in the long run. There's coupons in there.
Yeah.
For lots of good stuff. Yeah, absolutely. All right. Anything else you want to add before we head out? All right. Have a Merry Christmas, everybody. A happy holiday. Happy Hanukkah. Happy Kwanzaa. Killer Kwanzaa. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's the alliteration, maybe. Hope you have a good
Christmas.
It's
Hanukkah.
Christmas time.
Kwanzaa.
In Cayuga.
Every single holiday.
All right. Cool. Have a good one, guys. We'll catch you next time for JD Scroggin. Oh, real quick.
What?
At SLO College Beat, at Fansmanship. Yeah. Happy New Year. Merry Christmas. Peace. Happy holidays. Bye-bye.
What the hell is Hurricane and Scroggs?
At 10 a.m. I kick it off with a tuna shake and a Molotov. I pop 8 pills of Imodium, turn on a marathon on Nickelodeon. Oh, yeah. Wax my tag, bleach my pits, give myself epileptic fits. You know it. Custom Crocs caress my feet. Yes. Pre-game checklist now complete. Ha. Tweet some tweets, blog some blogs, all while mobbing on my horse. Hit the store for party essentials, scented candles and damn stentals. Fashionably late, ha. I'm never tardy, cause guess what, bitches?
This is how I party.
That's right. Flula, make men. Party times! Ha, 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 yeah! At 10 a.m. I kick it off with a tuna shake and a Molotov. I pop 8 pills of Imodium, turn on a marathon on Nickelodeon.
Oh, yeah.
Wax my tag, bleach my pits, give myself epileptic fits.
You know it.
Custom Crocs caress my feet.
Yes.
Pre-game checklist now complete.
Ha.
Tweet some tweets, blog some blogs.